So there has not been a core meeting of the WBAI local station board to elect either their own officers or their delegation of directors to the PNB. The PNB has made several efforts to urge the BAI local station board to meet. When that failed twice, there was an effort to have an electronic voting for the director seat sent to the officers, and one faction, I believe, did not participate at all in that, and then has brought this lawsuit. So, we're still trying to grapple with that, but the board has been meeting telephonically and is trying to schedule an in-person meeting, and hopefully there will be a full delegation from the DEI by the time that meeting takes place.
How's that going to happen?
All right. Okay, let's move the agenda.
Thank you, Michael, for that report. Next item on the agenda.
I have a question on that report. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead,
Maya. Michael, what I'd like to know is, are you asserting that the PNB has the right or the privilege or the authorization under the bylaws to direct the delegate assembly of any of the Pacific stations? Because isn't the PNB giving direction to the delegate assembly of WBAI, which is answerable to the WBAI listeners, not to the PNB?
We have about 30 seconds in the segment. Go ahead, Ms.
Fox. Well, the language of the bylaws say that it's a meeting of the LSB. The delegates are the same people as the LSB. If someone is not on the LSB, they're not a delegate, so, and vice versa. So there's a controversy about that 24th seat on the WBAI LSB.
Thank you for your report.
That's 30 seconds.
Thank you. Next order of business, treasurer's report.
I'm sorry, one brief comment. What I urged the WBAI LSB and the board, we had the same situation here for several years where there was basically an evenly divided board. I was like the chair of the LSB on a 12-12 vote with a coin toss. A few years ago, we functioned perfectly well, and I've urged the WBAI LSB to constitute itself on that basis and move ahead and allow the foundation to, heal the breach.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Treasurer's report.
Okay, I'm going to have to apologize to the LSB. I really don't have a formal treasurer's report for today. There's just been a lot going on, and I only got the financials for January and February on April 6th from Leslie Radford, our GM. And I'm just going to go over, I think, the GM report a little bit. I'm sort of horrified looking here at the fund drive that she specified that for the next 4 months or 120 days, we are going to have 60 days of fund drive. 60 days of formal fund drive. That's one fund drive day in every 2 days of operation. That means we're going to have more fund drive days literally than regular program days. I think that's really untenable for the station. I think that's what's leading to the declining daily average of money raised. And that's besides the quiet drive. By the way, I hope to get out a formal written treasurer's report in the next week or so, or week or two, that I will send out electronically to the board and to the and to the finance committee. Also, as Leslie remarked, the quiet drive, we actually got financial data from PayPal on what's been raised by the website. The 7 days of quiet drive back in December raised $2,000 a day, which is which really looks good, but when we go to Quiet Drive in March and April, because that's the only time that we've been formally doing it, we're talking about, on average, raising about $200 a day. I think that there was, in one of the PayPal reports, there was 16 days of fund a Quiet Drive, and I believe that $800 was raised during that period of time. That's obviously not working. So the fund, the Quiet Drive, there may be some ways to optimize it and make it more efficient and make it work better. As I said in my March Treasurer's Report, what's absolutely essential for the Quiet Drive to work is having a working web page. The website is absolutely crucial to that being a viable method of raising money. So I don't know what else I can say about the Quiet Drive at this point in time. And I do apologize to the LSV for not having a formal treasurer's report, but there is about just analyzing the financials that I've received so far. As I indicate to Leslie, there's things going on in the financials I don't understand, and the general manager not being present at the monthly finance committee is a real problem, because that's where the work of the finance committee is done. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your report.
Are there questions?
I think we have 5 minutes allotted for questions.
We got 1 minute left in the second.
1 minute left in the segment? Okay. Ali and...
Yeah, Fred, a little earlier, and in your report, you were talking about the increase in payroll that was reported to be going from 50% to 80%. But you said in your findings it looks like it only went up 30%, because it would be 60% if it actually went.
Correct.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that and what kind of response you're getting? Because I'm a little unclear on how you came up with that, and also what might actually be going on.
Okay, there should be if the salaries go back up to 80% to 50%, and the staff was on 50% salaries from October, November, and December. There's a factor of 1.6 that should increase on for payroll. What I actually saw in the financials for January and February of this year was that the payroll, just looking at the payroll numbers and not and nothing else, I saw an increase in the payroll of a factor of 1.3. So there seems to, and what that 1.3 turns out to be in terms of money is about, I believe that was $25,000. So there seems to be a missing $25,000 in terms of salary increase for the staff per month, which I can't account for.
Fred, I think I might have survived on that.
Okay.
Let's do this on that time of the segment, but we have 5 minutes for questions to the directors and the
Okay. I'm chair. Sorry, what do you want to do, Chair?
You can continue on, but will you...
Okay.
Just a quick comment. I think Leslie pointed out that expenses in January, February, or March were asked to be moved back to last fiscal year, 2015. And that's why these early months are so much lower than what your expectations would be, especially with the salary increase. It's other expenses that have been moved out of this frame and moved back in the last year. I think that's what she was communicating.
Steve, that has to do with the operational expenses per month, but I was just looking at the payroll numbers. And the payroll numbers just seem to be smaller than they should per month.
1.6 more instead of 1.3 more.
Well, they appear to be 1.3 rather than 1.6.
Right. Okay.
And so it's just the confusion, and I'm trying to sort all this out and figure out what's going on with payroll at this point, but In sort of Leslie's explanation finally makes a little bit of sense in terms of why the operational costs haven't gone up with payroll going up.
Thank you. I think we have a few more minutes left for questions to the director.
I hope that was clear. It looks like
for the board, any other questions? Michael?
Yeah, I'm not sure the question exactly, but the cut in pay and then the restoration of the, you know, partial restoration of the cut, you know, is not necessarily identical for everyone. So there are many people who had less than 100% pay to start with and were reduced to 50% or restored to what it was. So it might affect that calculation. I'm not sure. The other thing possibly is that the chief engineer position was unfortunately vacated by a
that was after February.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the board to the directors and the treasurer? All right. So we'll next agenda item, public comments. 90 seconds. Come on up.
Monsieur.
Yep.
Hello, Rosemary Sando. I have a couple of comments. First of all, I have to agree with Sharon about the agenda items. About the agenda items being going through governance, because it's really important for us, the listeners and people who are here in the public, to be able to follow what's going on in the LSB meeting. So I would recommend that most items go to governance before they ever show up here. Secondly, I want to point out that even though the small events in the parking lot and other items like that don't make a lot of money, what we're doing is we're spreading seeds for growth. And that's what KPFK really needs. We need new listeners. We need new supporters. We can't expect to get other people who have already deceased or whose income has gone down due to their age, to retirement, etc., to be able to support the station as much as they had. So we really do need new listeners. And even if the people only donate $25, $50, if we have hundreds of, or thousands of people, the station will get better. Thank you. And one last thing, the personnel, it's important to remember that all of your jobs, besides the personnel, is to keep the station running full strength and in good shape. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Hi, thank you. You know, it's interesting. Dorothy Reich at the last LSB meeting brought up two of which are still standing motions, and it was pushed to the back at the end of the meeting. And Sharon, you were not here. You were
chair.
The chair. And the LSB paid no attention to allocate the necessary time to deliberate. And Steve, you were not here. So Mansoor and other people are playing dumb. What has been talked about and coordinated and orchestrated to raise funds outside of the fundraiser? Michael Novick was trying to push this for since last year, but the LSB meetings were boycotted, so no business was done. And how is it that someone is giving you background history and you still go and raise your little hand to vote for a motion that is going to harm the unit, the very unit that you're sitting here? It is dumb. It is unconscionable. Okay, the other thing is I had a motion to reduce all-star programming down to 1 hour, to hear other voices. And there's still a lot of reconfiguration to be done there. But it was stripped down, it was removed from the governance, which was passed a year ago.
Then
pushed to the Programming Oversight Committee, and there was killed by Ken Aaron et al. The other issue is, real quickly,
Thank you for your comment.
Very good. Okay. I shall return.
We know that. We have no doubt about that, fellas.
My name is John. I'm a KPFK listener sponsor. I don't know if you're doing this, but when a motion is passed by this body and it's relevant to the GM, it should be emailed to the GM immediately.
Exactly.
Even during the meeting. If you don't email it to the GM will not find out about it. They just won't. So I encourage
encourage the secretary, when the minute is passed, put the motion, a text of a motion, an email, send it to GM. No reason to wait. Also, I used to serve on the governance committee with John Winter and Appel DeSoto and Michael Novick. And one thing I used to do is I used to send out an email blast to the members requesting motions, special speakers, and reports that are going to be given. So I would actively ask the board, please send us the motions so I can have them in the agenda when the meeting starts, so the pileup that the chair was dealing with won't happen. Also, I believe Robert's Rules of Order states that the meeting minutes should record the actions of the board and the text of the motions. It is not required to have a recording of the discussion, but that's up to the board. You can include discussion in your minutes if you want. I didn't, for the very reason that we saw today, because someone objected to being paraphrased. So I basically never paraphrased anybody because I didn't include any discussion at all.
10 seconds, John.
All I included was the text of the motions, the points of order, and the action of the board to make my job easier. So if you want to have discussion, have it, but be aware that the public may have questions.
Time's up.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
See, what's the time limit? 90 seconds.
Yeah, for those who don't know me, my name is John Wenger. I'm a former board member. I turned out last August after 6 years. I'm also a former treasurer, and I'm also a former chair of governance for, I guess, about the last 5 years. So, Leslie and I guess I think I know everybody else from one place or another, Sandy from the phone room. The thing I wanted, my major point is that I asked the board to follow the long-standing procedures policy that listener comments, this is important, Sharon, that listener comments occur before every substantive motion. This is an existing policy. The idea of the policy is that you, the board, should hear the comments of the listeners so that you're informed of those ideas before you vote. So the idea is not just comment, but substantive comment before, you get listener comment before, so you're informed before every substantive motion. Now, with regard to, so that's it, it's important, this is policy, it's in writing. I don't know where it is anymore, but it's very long lasting.
15 seconds.
The other thing is with regard to governance, I'm sorry I wasn't able to come to a bunch of the governance meetings. I'm attempting to do that because I wanted to pass on a lot of the collective wisdom that has happened, and so I'll try to do that in the next meeting.
Thanks for your
comments.
One, Paul.
Point of order. You can't speak at this meeting.
That would be a violation of the CPB.
He was
bad.
He was not bad.
Open meeting
law,
which would shut down.
Wait, he was not bad. Give me 1 second. Not bad. It was 7 minutes.
Order.
Where is it in the minutes? Bella.
Let the chair handle it. The chair has to handle it.
Now, to ban me from speaking would be a violation of CPB open meeting rules, so please do, Chair.
Just give me... Hold everything.
Hold on. I've got my time.
Thank you.
Don't worry, I'm going to tell the truth.
You're not going to tell anything. Yes, just let the chair in. That's what the chair is for.
Give me a second, guys.
Speak in public.
Yes, this is also the public.
I don't know.
It was challenged, Chair. They're only giving you one side.
There was no motion passed on banning anyone. It is a violation of CPB open meeting rules.
By who? We have the
Damn, I wasn't even going to cut it.
Oh, It really is.
They're trying to see whether
they
sort out
what they're doing. So while we're waiting, check out Safe Harbor this week. The premiere be 425.
Well, perhaps, Adam, while they figure you out, maybe Alan can speak.
I think we're
going
to figure this out.
No. Oh, yeah. I heard that.
but I noticed with the guy about every 10th word. That.
This guy or this guy?
This guy. So,
exactly. Very nice.
Words in. So, what shall we do?
Give me a second.
We're waiting for Boone and the chair.
Yeah.
Waiting for Boone and the second chair.
Quiet in the gallery.
Could you tell us what we're waiting for so we'll know?
We're waiting for the chair.
Well, I didn't know that.
Because we just passed the decorum motion at this meeting, which addresses the topics that we discussed or happened at the last meeting. So this point forward, Adam, you are noted.
Excuse me, I would like to speak.
Let her finish.
You are noticed. You were sitting in this meeting in regards to the decorum motion being passed. So we expect that you will behave yourself and all of the members of the board and the public. We expect that we'll all act civilly toward each other and that we will review the decorum motion that was passed, and we hope there's an apology forthcoming. Let's move on with the order of business.
Your 90 seconds is on.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, and I thank you again for all of the work that you put in this Saturday.
I want to start with an apology.
Please.
Wait, apology for what?
For what? To have discipline the public. What is that?
To me. Shush.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I apologize to everyone who I was not talking about last week. I'll put it that way. Because the same thing stands. I mean, and the same behavior continued this week. When this body that Dan Goodman is a part of passed a motion to support a lawsuit that Dan Goodman has filed against this corporation, that is yet again a violation of this body's duty of care towards this corporation.
Right.
To support the lawsuits against this corporation by Steve Brown, yet again, is a violation of this body's duty of care towards its members and towards its radio station. So, like I said, the apology stands for those I didn't mean.
35.
But I do thank everyone for coming out yesterday. And if you want rules of decorum do not become the truth.
That's right.
And that is the fact. If you are a director of a corporation, it is a direct violation of California Corporation Code to use the body that you're on, which is probably why Jan excused herself, to push your agenda. It's not personal attack when it's a fact. I'm done, and I thank you for actually doing the fundraising motion, because that's what this is needed. Can we discuss Dorothy's motions? Because they're very, very good.
Time's up.
Coming up.
Thank you for your comment. Next.
Your agenda has a substantive item coming up about the personnel on subcommittees. I wish to comment on that motion. Should I reserve my public comment until that motion comes up, or should I make it now?
Make it now.
There may not be time, so use your time.
Generally, I support the proposal, but there is one item in it, item number 12, which I find disgusting. It calls for having more
PNB members on each committee than there are non-PNB members on the committee, particularly when it comes to voting. That is extremely difficult to enforce. It will be hard. It will make a lot of confusion in the meetings, and there's absolutely no point in it. The purpose of these committees is explicitly set forth in one of the earlier board policies. You will go out and actively solicit people who are not on the board to come and take part in the committees.
1 second.
And if you say you're going to limit it, there might be only two PNB members on the committee. You're only required to have two. So you might end up with a committee of only four people and turning people away and saying, sorry, we can't put anybody else on the committee. That's ridiculous. And I think that item 12 should be stricken out, and the rest of the motion I support.
Thank you for your comment.
Hello. I want to compliment Sharon Brown
for
being poised and trying to take control of a strange meeting. I've been to many meetings. Many of you don't know me, but I've been here before. And I sometimes don't come back because it's so conflictful that it's difficult, even though I find it interesting. I'm curious to know why the people in the public, and there's fewer than there ever have been that I've seen, do not receive a copy of the agenda.
Right.
And I think that would be appropriate. It doesn't cost very much to print anything. I know that. And secondly, if you have rules of decorum, I suggest that in the future, every time there is a new person, or even a person doesn't remember, that they receive a copy briefly of a half a page of what it is that you would like them to do. Secondly, I'm not clear that there is a person who is the enforcer of any of this. And as usual, if everybody jumps in and chooses when to and when not to, it doesn't work. At the city council in L.A., they had the same problem with enforcing certain rules, where everybody talked about it, the chief of police, everybody came down and talked about it, but with question of enforcement was left undone. So however you do it, I hope you do it better.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we'll make sure we post at every meeting that rule of decorum somewhere.
Yeah,
so that
that's a good idea.
Have notice
on the
of
doors.
It. Okay. Public comment? Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Next order of business, PNB committee report. Governance?
I'm on the PNB governance committee, and the meeting did not reach quorum, so it wasn't held.
Election?
I'll save 3 minutes there.
Thank you. Election committee, PNB elections committee?
Blair and Frederick. Charles.
Bill Crozier was elected chair pro tem. And Fred, help me out here.
Thank you. Both Charles and myself are the LSB representatives on the PNB Elections Committee. My recollection is kind of fuzzy, but yes, we elected Bill Crozier as chair pro tem for the next couple of meetings. We were supposed to have a elections committee task force meeting this last weekend, I believe, or a week ago, and it was canceled. I don't know why. I think Michael Novick had a little bit better recollection. Michael, were you the PNB representative on the elections committee?
No, I'm not. I wasn't on the task force. We did have a meeting, a telephonic meeting with the task force, but only Bill Crozier and myself participated. I'm not sure why nobody else joined the call.
Because he was a cancellation notice.
Okay. He rescheduled it. Anyway, the other thing I would mention is I think that the position of National Election Supervisor was posted for this coming year to begin the process of the LSB elections, the delegate elections for 2016.
I put forward the idea that the PNB Elections Committee should review the circumstances of the WBAI previous elections and provide a ruling or recommendation to the PNB, but various people on the committee were of the opinion that what didn't fall within the purview of the PNB Elections Committee, to which my response was, well, if it isn't within the purview of the PNB Elections Committee to consider whether or not and how elections were performed accurately, then exactly what is the purview of the committee?
There's a basic problem, Charles, and that reviewing the election of delegates is a conflict of interest in the sense that we are the delegates, so we're reviewing our own elections.
But then you have the aspect of, you know, well, you elect lawmakers to make laws, but then it's a conflict of interest because they're the ones who have to obey the laws that they make. So I think that's that. I don't find
there's a tension there.
Yeah.
20 seconds.
All right. 20 seconds.
That was pretty much it.
Audit committee.
Okay. Well, the audit committee. Sorry, everybody. The audit committee has been pretty busy. You can listen to the audio archives of the audit committee at kpftx.org to hear what we've been up to. But basically, we met with the auditor who's working on the 2014 audit, and we met with the CFO. And one of the big problems that is facing Pacifica and facing KPFK is that our audits have been way behind schedule. The 2014 audit should have been filed in June of 2015, and it still has not been completed. And as a result of that failure to complete the audit, we have not been eligible, none of the Pacifica stations have been eligible for any grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so we're sort of in this downward spiral where we've got to beg listeners for money and add fund drive days because we don't have the budget we used to have because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding is hundreds of thousands of dollars that we are missing. And part of the reason that the audit has not been completed is because KPFK and other stations have not been producing their financial statements in a timely manner. So when we don't have our financial statements produced, the auditors have nothing to audit. One of the reasons that we don't have our financial statements is because we don't have a business manager at KPFK. The chief financial officer for Pacifica, Sam Agarwal, has said publicly many times that he approved the hire of a full-time business manager for KPFK back in January of this year. Now, there was a meeting notice on Pacifica.org that was posted, a job opening for a full-time business manager for KPFK was posted on Pacifica.org on January 6th of this year. If you go to the KPFK website, you do not see any menu option for jobs at KPFK. You do not hear on our 110,000-watt megaphone that there is an opening for a business manager, a full-time business manager at KPFK, and that opening has existed since January of 2016. That's part of what's hanging up the audit, and if we don't get our 2015 audit started, we're going to be in the same position with respect to CPB funding that we have been for at least a year now.
It seemed that what's holding up the audit is also there hasn't been any agreement made with Amy Goodman yet, and that's a big part. There were three items missing. I don't remember what the other two were, but the agreement with Amy Goodman as to what she wants to do about the money that's owed to her, that has not been finalized, and they can't complete the audit until she finalizes that. Now, at the audit committee meeting, I asked how much money do we need to get straight right now, and I was told by Sam $150,000. That's not clear to me whether that includes the $80,000 that we need for the fund drive. I think, premiums, I'm not sure about that, because I was then I asked, well, station by station, what is the annual shortfall of each station that we need to make up. How much are we short? And then I was told by somebody on the committee, oh, that's not the purview of the audit committee, that's the finance committee. But I see here there is no finance committee, so that's always very interesting to me. I think we need Myla to get that information immediately so we see what's going on. We don't know how much the stations need to function, and we don't know how much money the stations are raising, so we don't know what the difference is.
Can we get a queue going on questions for this segment?
So I think it was Michael, Grace, and then Steve. And then I think we'll be probably at
Charles also.
Charles? Oh. And then.
So just a couple of things. The reason the finance committee is not here is because the treasurer is our member of the finance committee and gave that report earlier. As far as the Democracy Now, it has been clarified now in discussions between Lydia Brosnan and the Amy Goodman and the staff people there that Democracy Now did not accrue any payments for the last 2 years, and we're currently in negotiations then for what the payments will be going forward, but there's no obligation to Democracy Now for either of the last two previous fiscal years. It's not in our books. It's Democracy Now.
That's right.
Okay.
I believe that's correct. It hasn't, they haven't been doing, Democracy Now has not been doing Pacifica for the last couple of years, as far as I know. So that was a question that the auditors have, and I'm hoping that it has been resolved with the auditors.
Yes.
I think it's Steve, Grace, and then Charles.
Grace was for me.
Grace, Steve, Charles, Fred, and then this segment's probably going to be over.
Okay. I'm on the audit committee as well, and I want to say that Myla was elected to be the temporary chair. And she did a really excellent job. We had two wonderful meetings, one with the auditor and one with the CFO. They were done separately. And it was very, very enlightening. We found out that a prior report from the CFO that the audit was going to be much more expensive was negated by the auditor, which was great. And then the CFO later explained why he had overestimated the costs of the 2014 audit, which looks like it will probably be completed soon, and the 2015 audit, which we hope will be accomplished. The other thing that I gleaned from the meeting was that we have a real deficiency when it comes to HR, that's really impeding things quite a bit in Pacifica. We have no HR director and very few HR resources. I don't recall other things, but it was, I have to say that Myla did an excellent job, and it was an extremely productive meeting, two meetings.
Steve?
Dorothy, did you say we needed $150,000? Oh, sorry. Did you say we needed $150,000 to get this audit done? And you don't know if...
He said that the shortfall is... The station is in the red, the Pacific is in the red, 150.
What's impeding us from actually getting the audit produced?
Excuse me?
What is impeding us from actually getting the 2014 audit?
There was a Democracy Now issue, and there were two other small issues, and I forget what they
These
were.
These are just small issues, and I think Mike says that we...
Can I answer that? They were referred to as big-ticket items by the auditors and by Sam. Something about the lease with the Empire State Building.
Oh, right.
And honestly, the two things that stand out in my mind are the wondering whether we actually owe money to Democracy Now.
No.
Okay, so these are internal issues about what the debt obligation is to the Empire State Building. And it does sound like we reached some sort of accord, at least on the 2014, as far as Democracy Now! Is going. So it's just a matter of clearing up those issues. We have the money in place to actually get these.
No. The other thing is whether or not the stations have viable business plans that convince the auditors that they can actually meet their obligations.
No, that was not stopping the audit. that the audit that was not preventing them from completing the audit. There was going to be a statement in the audit, and he indicated it had been in there before that the question of whether this is actually a going concern, and
right.
It will remain in our specific audits until we can show that we can have a plan to raise enough money to meet our expenses, which we haven't done, which is why it's important to know how much money we need for each station every month and every year, so that we can make plans to raise the amount of money that we need to become a going concern. And that is what Leslie is talking about when it comes to trying to raise serious
money. How much
money
time do we have in this segment?
Oh, we already have 10 minutes.
Can I just clarify
that point? Those were the three points. The third point was that the chief financial officer was trying to negotiate with the auditors and make a determination about whether or not to accept the determination of going concern. Those were the three points: Democracy Now!, the lease with the Empire State Building, and whether or not to accept that. And at this point, the chief financial officer is saying that we have to accept the determination that we are a going concern.
We're not a going concern.
He's recommending that.
No, we have to be a going concern.
Point of order. We're treading very, I think everything has been okay so far, but there are some issues that are being discussed that are confidential matters. So be careful what you say and understand that contract negotiations are confidential and lease agreements are confidential, real estate, all that kind of thing is confidential.
Thank you.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to make some of the same point. Just to clarify to people, in several previous years, the auditors did issue what's called a quote-unquote going concern. What that means is they question our ability to continue an operation as a going concern, just so people understand what it is.
Thank you.
It's not that they're concerned about us. So my understanding, and I'm sorry Lydia's not here, but she did have a further talk with the auditors who said that they're not intending to put such a warning in the audit, partly because they understand that it would damage our ability to deal with the situation, because there are prospects of things you can do that I can't go into for the reasons that Grace just elaborated. There was a discussion in the Finance Committee about this question of accepting such a going concern. The Finance Committee voted against doing any such thing. Because we don't want to be dealt with on that basis. We have to be able to have
Let's
call the agenda.
You guys will need a lot of time. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for the report, Audit Committee, Programming Committee.
Programming Committee, I was asked to...
PNB Programming Committee.
I was asked to convene the committee. I sent around a doodle. We got very few responses to it. I've sent around an email now to everybody on the committee. You should have gotten an email months ago. I haven't gotten enough responses yet. It looks like we might try to have a meeting on the 28th. The only two responses I've received so far would be a meeting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific on the 28th.
Okay. You're
on
that committee?
I'm on that committee. I was going to say that I didn't attend anything and I wasn't able to attend, so I don't have anything to report.
Okay, thank you guys. Wonderful.
Please respond to the email.
Okay, yes. PMB is Committee of Inclusion Committee? Steve?
Actually, this is good number. It's Pride, and it's me and Mansoor and Fernando.
Can't hear you.
I'm taking a close with this. It's actually me, Mansoor, and Fernando, and we have not met yet. I'm a convener, but I haven't convened yet because we've been so busy with our schedule for other committees. We are here tonight, today, so after the meeting, just meet each other in the corner somewhere and find a day and time that we can do this. It's a unique committee in that it has no national meetings. So it's a national committee that's on the local level. So it's when three of us can get together and meet. And so the question of how open is the committee when selected. Yet if we didn't have anyone that was from town, we have to discuss that together. So, what is that today?
Okay, you can have
at the end of the meeting, and I can
perfect.
Thank you,
Steve.
Did you have a question, please?
And Steve just said that people couldn't attend the inclusion
committee because they had so many other committee meetings. And I think we need to think about not today, but I don't know what committee that would come from, about limiting the number of committees that people commit to attending, because you can't do a good job on six committees. People are attending all the committees all the time, and then nothing's getting done.
Just call the agenda.
Okay, perfect. KPFK committee reports, finance.
Yes, the finance committee. Okay, this is the KPFK finance committee, which is the local finance committee. We met last Wednesday, April 13th, at the KPFK station. We spent about an hour going discussing committee membership. This seems to be a perennial discussion at committee meetings. I hope this motion that we passed today. Did we pass the motion yet on committee membership? I know that I think that's under new business.
Has nothing to do with committee.
We finally did discuss some of the finances and station finances since we did get financials on April 6th. Unfortunately, our GM at the last minute sent us an email that she would not attend that meeting on last Wednesday. So we had to carry over some of that discussion to today's meeting during the GM report. We did pass one motion, which is under new business, about hiring of a business manager, and we did recommend that motion to the OSB.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Personnel?
Okay. Jan didn't leave, and she's asking to get the personnel report, but this is the beginning of the meeting. We actually added two motions to this section. I would suggest you go to the minutes of the personnel committee at KPFTX if you want a full report on that, and I would like to suggest that you just use this time for those two motions. Because we only added 5 minutes, so this is 8 minutes to get through two motions. And I have them here if you want to pass them down.
Where's the motion?
Here, there. And those down. The two are, basically one was to start a search committee for the programming director, which is our duty to do every year until we finally get it right, I guess. The other one was a evaluation procedure for the GM evaluation, and it's due in just a couple of months.
Okay.
Is that the same? There's two different ones. One, that now. No.
Okay. Well, that's no. This is one.
Oh, you got one, okay. And this one that's sitting right there is the other one.
Which one do you want to go first?
The easier one. The second one with the evaluation will be more complex. That one's easier.
Okay,
good. Until we finally get it right. So. And I will give a caveat because it was an odd addition to the meeting, to the motion in the personnel committee that says we should hire Alan McKee unless it's illegal or... You got the thing.
Okay. Yeah. So
I would like to point out that I didn't talk to Leslie. If she refuses to do it, she is very clear that she has no power to do what they're asking. So the second part of the motion is the relevant part, and I would like to make a friendly amendment to this motion. Let's just drop the first part.
No.
She's already said she does not have
the power. I'm not sure if we're all on the same page. I think we're doing the...
The person that everybody recommends to the LSB that law allowing, they recommend GM hire IPD and permanent PD, or if GM cannot, that LSB immediately restart the PD and permanent committee.
Okay, so he's making a motion?
That's the motion for the first time.
That's the motion? Second.
Wait, was there an amendment? Did you make a change?
That is the amendment motion.
It was not.
But I'm amending that since I've already talked to Leslie and she has said, as it says, she cannot. It's not within her power and she understands it. And that was the question in this motion. I'd like to just move, we drop that since it's moved. We can pass it, but then we've already solved
it.
Pass
it the way we wrote it.
Okay, let's pass the way we wrote it, and then we'll amend it.
I won't.
No. Any debate on this discussion? Okay, Charles, Michael, any other hands?
Steve, I offered this motion.
Right.
Okay.
And the intent of the motion, as I understand it, is that there was some question whether or not, according to the bylaws, the GM is authorized to hire without a search.
No.
Okay.
Which you can't.
And it was my understanding, and I thought the consensus of the understanding of the committee regarding the bylaws, that it is the duty of the GM to hire the PD.
From a pool selected.
Hired, but not fine.
From a pool selected by a search.
So from a pool that has been put forward by the LSB by a search committee.
Okay.
Which has been embarked upon, as I understand it, once or twice before in the 8-year term or whatever that Alan Minsky has been sitting in that position. So, we can certainly agree, I would think, that this does not preclude us from evaluating the PD. I mean, that is something that should be undertaken, of course.
It's not part of that.
But this is strictly about hopefully moving the process forward by either hiring him or, if we choose not to do so, then immediately starting the search.
Okay, I apologize for saying my opinion on the first part, but it was just to make this look a little less intelligent when you're running into the advance that you cannot do that.
So I would differ.
Michael, are you?
Point of order. There's a time. Point of order.
And we only have 3 minutes.
Point of order.
We're 5 minutes into a 3-minute.
Are we 5 minutes into this? So do you want to get the motion on the floor?
Yeah, I move as is on behalf of Jan Goodman and the committee.
Second.
Okay. Close in a minute. So throw them up in a minute.
All those in favor?
Wait. Point of clarification. 100%, we need to be clear. So we're voting on this 100% as written, right?
As yes. Read.
Yeah. All those in favor, show your hands.
Who wants to separate?
Okay, all in favor, raise your hands.
Bella, I'm gonna need you, please. Thank you.
I was trying to move to separate, but...
One, two, three.
It is invalid. Bella.
Four, five. I'm sorry, let me count that again. I wasn't sure if your hand was up or not there.
Okay.
All in favor of those, all of those in favor of this motion. One, two, three, four, five, six. All opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Abstentions.
Motion
failed. Okay. 6-9 failed.
Motion failed.
Okay, the second motion.
I would have voted for it. I would have voted for it the way you amended it.
Okay.
She would have.
Okay, next order of business. Second motion.
I'm sorry, point of order.
This that you gave me this whole thing.
But a point of order.
I hear you, but I don't see hands. Okay. Yeah.
This is not a motion from the personnel committee.
What are we speaking of? The
LSB evaluation of general manager to create this.
And I asked that. I was just trying to Grace to read what Jan wrote in our beam as well.
Okay. First, I'd like to extend this agenda item by 5 minutes to put forward this motion.
Second.
Did it come out of governance?
All in favor?
I mean, where does this come from?
First warning.
It's not up to you to decide. You're not on the board. So you need to be quiet.
Madam Chair,
Let me hold the meeting for 1 second. Bella, I need you to approach the chair. Please, come. I need to give you something.
That's okay. You give it to me later.
Here. Someone not for the panel's about her, just so she's not.
Wow.
And then, Madam Chair?
I'm not sure if she was here when we discussed that. Thank you.
I was recognized and raised in point of order that this motion was not cut from the personnel committee.
I'd like a ruling from the chair on my point of order.
So, okay, where'd this come from? Okay, can I explain this?
This is personal.
All right, I'll just read the preamble to it. This is from Jan, who had a lead. She said, Ollie, do you want to read it? Because you are on the personnel committee.
That's two.
Yeah, I do. What do you want me to read?
Read the preamble.
Just a preamble. From Jan Goodman. Dear fellow LSB and personnel committee members, I was supposed to bring to the personnel committee a draft questionnaire for the GM evaluation, which I have put together. However, upon further reflection, I realized that what has happened in the past is the personnel committee did a lot of work, and then basically the LSB always insisted on doing it again. So, rather than going through a two-stage process, I want to propose both to the personnel committee and to the LSB a one-stage process so that the whole process can be streamlined. This is why I'm suggesting a one-step proposal. I would ordinarily go through the personnel committee first, but because the personnel committee isn't meeting until after the LSB meeting, I decided to run it by the LSB first. Also, I was planning on sending the motion to the governance committee, but because it isn't meeting because of the Amy Goodman event, I decided just to have it considered by the LSB. Also, the GM evaluation is ultimately the job of the LSB, as it is one of its major tasks per the bylaws. And then the motion follows.
Okay, so I have the floor again.
Can I see? Okay. Grace, Dorothy, Charles.
So I'm just asking to be inserted this place on the agenda, but if the body wants it to be in new business, that's fine too. It's just that it's Jan Goodman's request. She's the chair of the personnel committee. She asked that it be placed on the agenda at this point on the agenda. So I think it would take about 7 minutes to six or seven minutes to discuss it. It's up to the body.
Can I restate my point of order? I think it's out of order. We put it on the agenda as new business at the beginning of the meeting. We accept the agenda.
Right.
This is not a report from the personnel committee and should not be treated as such.
Thank you. I mean, I can see yet again the two little motions from the fundraising committee will be postponed then another month. I mean, you know, enough and up.
Cross project?
We know the priority.
I agree with Michael on this. This is my response, having received this by email from Jan. My initial reaction is that I find your proposed solution very curious. In other words, you ask the LSB to create yet another committee when the specific purview of the personnel committee is to evaluate the GM. And secondly, the program director, creating a transparent evaluation process to do so and then forwarding the findings to the LSB. What purpose is served by taking the responsibility to do so out of the hands of the committee already charged with doing so? Assuming this new proposed committee will then report its results to the LSB, who then deliberate, there is no streamlining. It is still a two-step process. I don't see the purpose of this.
Thank you. Thank you. I believe this is out of order.
Thank you. Point of order. This was sent to the chair and the secretary and the vice chair to be put on the agenda. At least let's put it in new business, because any person can add something to the agenda. It should have been on the agenda in new business.
Well, that was the point of order.
Yeah, I think we did.
It is
under new business.
It is under new business.
It is under new business.
Sorry.
Outreach committee.
Separate view from now on, Danny.